You are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
When I graduated from college, my vocation prior to serving as a minister and a chaplain was working as a high school history teacher. Next to the fascinating encounters of teaching and learning with my students, one of the things that I enjoyed was moving about the classroom as I provided instruction. I found it kept people on their toes. One of the things that tickled me was intercepting those little notes that were being passed from student to student. They were kind of fun to read, seeing how intricately they folded them and tried to disguise them. You could glean some really juicy social information from those: who was dating who, what they thought about the chalk that I had smeared on my pants, and the classic, if the recipient liked the sender, check yes or no. It was like reading someone else's mail. I didn't write it. I was not the sender nor the intended recipient, but I had a front row seat to the mail's content. This is how I feel about the books of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. A little voyeuristic. Perhaps I feel a little like I'm reading someone else's mail. But as humans, we love that, though. Across time and place, reading each other's mail and correspondence has revealed a lot about culture and wisdom and what is happening in a given time and place, and it's actually quite informative. Reading these brief letters in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, we step into a community that's divided, with those who remain trying to return to some sort of cohesion and community as they were originally called by God, while fending off those who had left and are kind of hurling questions and comments back at them. To do that, to restore cohesion and rebuild community, the remnant must look within themselves and begin with the ones in the mirror and confess what they know to be true. That is where the scripture passage that I chose for today goes, and I believe it even relates to us. In worship, we've been examining some of the smaller, perhaps lesser-known books of the Bible. When asked to participate in leading a portion of this sermon series, I turned to the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd letters of John. They are extensions in some way of the 4th gospel by the same name, John, that reminds us of the commandment to love one another as I have loved you. But there is more to these three small books than their ongoing theme of love. That's where we're going to go today. We will still touch on the love theme, but I want to talk about the need to confess our sins to seek redemption and restoration by looking at that early Christian community to which these letters were sent. That early Christian community was divided by politics, theology, behaviors, thoughts, and actions. Sounds pretty familiar to me if you turn on the news or step outside today. I think we might just learn something from them. So listen to the Word of God from the first letter to John, chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. This is the message we have heard from God and declare to you. God is light. In God there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with God and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus, God's Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make God out to be a liar, and God's word is not in us. This is the word of God for the people of God. First, before we go any further with confession and 1 John, let's take a look at these three letters overall. We're talking about three brief writings that come head kind of toward the end of the New Testament. Examining these writings have brought scholars a lot of questions and very few answers. Were all three of the letters of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, were they all sent at once? Were they all addressed to the same city? Did the same person write them all? And in what order were they written? Were they written in a different order than they are placed in the Bible or the canon? Who was this elder? And who were the recipients? This is what we think. The three letters were probably all sent at the same time to the same place. It's believed that the second and third letters of John are preserved by the first letter of John. Let me tell you what I mean. Third John is a certifying letter to Gaius from the elder, that the carrier of the other two letters, Demetrius, was to be received with open arms. Second John is to be read to the entire assembly and to serve as an introduction or cover letter to First John. First John is not really a letter at all, but it's more like an exhortation or a mini sermon. But all three of these letters are to be seen as parts of an epistolary package. Epistolary means back and forth letter writing. It's a genre of literature where an author uses letter writing to tell their story. What we know by reading someone else's mail is that these letters speak of conflict and division. Each one speaks of conflict in its own way. Letter three, there's political conflict between rival leaders. Letter two, there's disagreements over proper teaching. And letter one, there are doctrinal and moral disagreements seem to dominate the culture. Overall, the conflict and division appears to be generated from within, internal dispute and rivalries, rather than from an outside source, like in many other places in Scripture. Now, in that fourth gospel, also titled John, the church is beautifully and richly called to be, now listen to this, a community of friends sharing one spirit, joined to Jesus as Jesus is to God in a fellowship of unity and love. If that can't be lived out, there's a crisis. And that is what we find in these letters, a community in crisis, a church divided. Their Christology, or who they believe Jesus is, has them divided and needs to be worked out. There's a group that has remained and a group that has left or gone out. The group that has remained is being called to focus on rebuilding themselves, as they cannot control or do much about those who have left. Second and third John mention the mutual withholding of hospitality as something that was happening. In early Christian culture, to deny hospitality was to deny Christ. The New Testament is full of stories directing us in ways of hospitality and how important it is. Those who have remained are caught between what they believe and how to practically apply it. So they are caught between assertion, what they believe, and exhortation, or translating it to appropriate behavior. So what does this group that has remained need to do to generate some cohesion and restore their community? Pay attention, because we could learn something here as the church, but also a community that waxes and wanes between unity and division over theological and secular issues. They need to return to faithfulness about what they believe and know to be true about God. They need to practice obedience to an earlier commandment in the fourth gospel and the other letters of John to truly love one another as God has loved us. And they need to return to group cohesion, starting with the remnant, by having them examine their own sinfulness and remembering that their redemption came and will continue to come through Jesus as their advocate with God. Existing in this divided community, it's no longer sufficient enough to believe that just because you were born of God, that you are incapable of sin. We are sinful people from day one. Thank you, Adam and Eve. And others, and we fall short of the glory of God. Next, if something is broken, go back to the beginning. Go back to how God called them and us today to be. God calls us to be those walking in the light, which means a calling to total obedience to God. The division found in the first letter of John brings up something new, that the denial of our sinful nature is not loving ourselves or others, and is a form of self-deception. And that's bad news. This is where we really enter into the reading for today. Look at verses 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and God's word is not in us. We move a little closer to applying what we believe. We move closer to exhortation when we examine our own sinfulness. That's why I chose these letters of John today. There's a direct correlation to our worship together. These verses of 8, 9, and 10 are often used in Presbyterian worship as a call to confession. If we say that we have no sin, then we make our own perfection more important than God's mercy. And that's good news for us to hear. Again, I say, if we say that we have no sin, then we make our own perfection more important than God's mercy. In order to reset the divided back to a community of one spirit and in right relationship with God, there needs to be faithfulness to the God who saved us from sin and today saves us from ourselves. God gave the divided people of these letters and us today the gift of life from the side of the crucified. As Jesus hung on a cross, there was a gift of mercy and grace that needs to be revisited regularly. The division and conflict that we enter into the middle of in these letters is surmountable by returning to the commandment to love one another and to humbly love one another enough to confess our sins in thought, word, and deed against God and one another to generate cohesion. These early Christians and we today, because we are reading somebody else's mail, are called not just once, but over and over again to confess their sins. So how do those of us living in 2020 move from assertion to exhortation? I think that's for us to figure out. The answers will start to come when we're humble enough to admit that we are sinners. And I think where we fall short of the glory of God seems to be a good place for us, for you and me, and those early Christians to start. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.